So what I told you yesterday, that Hatzmana, requires Negiyah, requires that the food which is being, whose heat is either being preserved or the heat might even be being increasing through the Hatzmana. The Dabar HaMatzmin is touching the keli which has the food. So when you wrap, you're wrapping, let's say, the pot of soup with a towel, and the towel is touching the keli. But the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly that, for example, let's say you have something hot inside an oven.
It's
not Hatzmana. And then you take towels and you wrap the towels around the oven. It's not Hatzmana, because the towels are not touching the pot which has the food. It's not a Negiyah. Hatzmana is only when there's a Negiyah between the Dabar HaMatzmin and the keli, which is has the food, which is Chama. Then it's called Hatzmana. But if there's no Negiyah, there's no physical contact between the Dabar HaMatzmin, the thing which is either Mosif Hevel, it adds heat, or Eino Mosif Hevel, it just preserves heat. But it has to have Hatzmana, requires Negiyah. That's Beferish and Shulchan Aruch. He says, you even allow Reishnon Zayin Halacha Ches. He says very clearly, Mi kol shehu be'inyan she'ein abgadim ein abgadim nogim be'kedeira. If the begadim don't touch the kedeira, the pot, kiven she'ein osa derech hatzmana shari. That's not called hatzmana. Same thing he says, even with kol she'esh be'em kecholim. Even if you're using coals, half coals, to preserve heat, ve'ein shulei hakadeirim nogim b'gecholim, if it doesn't touch the coals, the pot, shehiya mikri. It's called shehiya. It's not called hatzmana. Then the Mishnah Berurah has a discussion, how much Negiyah, which I mentioned yesterday, does Negiyah mean partially or a lot?
What does Negiyah mean?
We say Negiyah. Negiyah means to touch. So Hatzmana, clearly in Shulchan Aruch is clear that Hatzmana only kicks in, it's only a situation when there's a Negiyah. The Dabar HaMatzmin is touching the kedeira sheyesh bo ochel chan. If there's no negiya, it's some other process. It's bishul, it's some other, you call it shehiya, or kabeish, but it's not hatzmana. Hatzmana requires negiya. And the Mishnah Berurah says, even if there's a little negiya on the bottom, that's also not hatzmana. Okay, good. Yes, what do you want to ask?
Yeah, also, I understand, what does it hatzmana mean? Does it mean that you can't cover the pot itself with the top of the pot? Let's say you wrap it up with like something else?
A wrap. It has to be something else, not a cover.
It's not a cover, it's not a metal cover that you put on.
A metal cover is not hatzmana, because it's all part of the same keli. Same. It has to be an additional keli, beged, or a warmer, something outside is matzmin. If it's the same kedeira with a kisui, that's not called hatzmana. That's called bishul. The gezeira of bishul and the gezeira of hatmana, bishul is a malacha d'oraisa, if you manage to go ahead and cook, but there are gezeiras to rabbanon concerning a bishul which is permitted midoraisa. Let's say bishul, acha bishul, cook something a second time, and beginning the bishul on Friday, it finishes off on Shabbos. Those are all gezeiras to rabbanon, which we know we work with a blech. We don't, but the rules of Hatzmana don't apply. If you call it Hatzmana, you're going to have to stop it. Hatzmana, there's no kulos in Hatzmana, as I told you yesterday. But there are many kulos in bishul. But you have, but so therefore, it's very, very important to know what is bishul, which you can do it the proper way with different kinds of signs, a blech, or scotch tape, or whatever. And you do it on Friday, whatever. Or we're going to spend a few months probably discussing all the laws of bishul, the raisa, and the rabbanon. In a few weeks we'll get to it. But hatmana, if it's something that's hatmana, your goose is cooked. You can't do anything about it. You can't do hatmana b'davar hamosif hevel. We saw that yesterday in the Gemara. It's a very, very strict... it's a drabbanon, almost no kulot. So therefore, it's very important to know what is hatmana. So therefore, that's where things become really prohibited. So one thing everybody agrees: if there's no negia, if there's no touching between the kadeira sheyeshba as a ochel and this other heat source outside, it's not hatmana. In order for someone to be called Hatzmana and to get us into a discussion of Isser Hatzmana, we have to have Negiyah. Negiyah is a Hebrew word which means Lingoa, to touch. There has to be a Negiyah between the Dava Hamosif Hevel, the thing which is creating the heat of the Hatzmana, and the Kedera Shiesh Ba'ochel. That's a fundamental definition. How much Negiyah? That's now another, that's a second question. How much Negiyah is Negiyah for Hatzmana? Let's say, you're just touching it on one spot. Let's say 98% of my hot pot is not touching the Dava HaMatzmin, but one spot is touching it. Is that called Hatzmana? If it's Nogeya B'miut? So that, the Mishnah Berurah here in the Bir Halacha has a discussion about this. But he says that it seems that there's a cool that most people are makers, the Ramah and others, that if it's an Agiya b'miktsas, that's also not Hatzmana. And the Agiya, and he mentions here that you probably need. How much do you need? How much touching is called Hatzmana? That's a question.
Part of it's touching, but part of it's not?
Right.
But
part is covered and part is not.
So like a crock pot, so to speak?
A crock pot covers it, let's say 95% of the kedera is nogeya in the Dava HaMosef Hevel, in the thing outside, right? The crock pot has this electric pot. And inside the electric pot, you put the inner kedera, the inner keli, where you put the cholent. So that's a crock pot. How do they say it in Hebrew? How do they say crock pot in Hebrew? What's it called in Israel?
Can you explain what is a crock pot?
It's a crock pot, an electric pot. Chashmal, kedera chashmalit, for some,
I don't know.
Glass cover.
Yeah.
Glass cover. Right. So how do they call this in Hebrew?
I'm in America.
It's not in Israel yet. So the crock pot is a big shayla of Hatzmana, because Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach said it's prohibited. He says it's Hatzmana. Now the Negiyah how much of the inner is a kli cheres? It's made out of cheres. It's very strong, thick, heavy kli cheres. And the outside is the kedeiros hashmali, which gives the chom, and that's made from matechet. So the inner keli, which is cheres, which is made from what do they say it in English? Porcelain. The porcelain inner keli, very thick porcelain. That's where you put the chalon, and it's already hot when you put it in there. It's already been cooked, and you're keeping it lahatzmin in this electric warmer, which is outside. Now the inner kli cheres is touching the matechet, the kli matechet, which is matzmin, but it's probably touching, I would say, 95%. 95% of the kli cheres is touching the kli matechet. 95% of that porcelain keli is touching the hot metal keli. So there's a lot of negiyah, there's a lot of touching here. 95% of the outer area is being touched. However, 5% above is sticking up a little bit. There's a rim on the outside. The klichera sticks up, and there's also a cover, which is also made from usually from plastic. They used to make. So let's say 10% of the kedeiro sheyesh bo to ochel is not nogea in the matechet, the kli matechet, which has the hatzmana, which does the davar hamatzmin, which is the mosif hevel. Question is this sufficient negia for hatzmana, or does hatzmana require kulo? The whole thing should be covered, including lamalim. You should cover the top with something else. So obviously Shlomo Zalman didn't think so. The Ramchab is very machmir. The Mechaber in Reish Nun Gimel Sif Aleph says that even if it's a miktsas on the bottom, even if the bottom of the pot, let's say you have a fireplace and you're cooking with the fire is from gachalot, coals, right? The charcoal. So the Mechaber's Beferish, he says that the whole heter, he says, of Shihiyah Kedera, that you're allowed to put a pot on the stove and the pot can sit there with a blech, etc. He says, is Einan Ogad B'Kchalim, Aval Hatzmana Ogad B'Kchalim, Udiva Kol Asur. The Mechaber's Shita is that even if the bottom of the pot by itself, not even the sides or the top, even if the bottom of the pot is inside the gechalim, the hot gechalim, that's already hatzmana, and there's no heter at all. The whole heter of bishul b'shabbos, if you have a blech, you have a stove, you do this, you do that, is only if the pot does not touch the flames, the dava. If it touches the gechalim, it's hatzmana. Forget about it. Hatzmana, there's no heter.
Because
then
asur, or he says it's
the dibra kol asur.
Asur, he doesn't say why it's asur.
He says it's hatmana. He says, kol ze binyan shihiya, shakadera yoshevet al kisei shal barzel, or gabe avanim, ve'ena nogat bikhalim. Aval hatmana al gabe gichalim, v'duva kol asur. So he says, all the halachas he's going to write, many, many halachas, how you set up a Shabbos stove and keep food cooking for Shabbos, is only if the pot is on some kind of a stand, he says. It's elevated, and the source of heat is below, and it's not touching the pot, so you go through all the various procedures to have a stove, have food on a stove for Shabbos. However, if the pot is actually touching
the flame
is also. That's why there's a minhag. Why don't we just put scotch tape across the dial of the stove and let the pot sit on the fire? You're not going to fix the fire because you have scotch tape across the dial. So why is the minhag Yisrael to always put a piece of metal over there?
Blech.
A blech? Because of shitat mechaber, if it touches the fire, it's hatzmana. Hatzmana, there's no heter. As I explained yesterday, there is no heter. There's no heter of simanim or other things. that. So therefore, we put a blech, it should not touch the flame. For the mechoshet, v'choshesh, for the sheet of the mechaber, that even mitzas negia is called hatzma. Even a mitzas of a negia is hatzma. Yeah.
I have a question. You can say you have semi-cooked noodles. Okay, and you have scalding hot soup, and you put the noodles in the bowl, and in a bowl, and then you pour the soup in the bowl as well, or you have the soup and then you put the noodles in. And the noodles get cooked even more, and it is surrounding, like the heat source is surrounding, but it's not really a cliche shape. So how does it work? Can you put the noodles in if you know that they're gonna get even more cooked by the hot soup?
That's not Hatzmona. You are talking about a shayla of a bishul, klisheni, klishlishi, and so on and so forth. That's not Hatzmona. Hatzmona is when you have a kadeira, which has hot food, and you wrap it with another
dava
hamatzmin.
The
soup is not...
So it's boiling water.
It's a question of a... It's a type of bishul, but it's not a Hatzmona. Hatzmona is kli besoch kli. A kli besoch kli, that's hatzmona. Or kli hanogat be'esh. That's what the mechaber says. Kli hanogat be'esh. But you're talking about mixing two different kinds of food. That's not hatzmona.
Okay.
The mechaber is very machmir.
How do people use the
crack pot?
Shlomo
Zalman is the posik for Eretz Yisrael. He's not the posik for America. America is the other poskim. Poskim here permitted it. So I'm trying to figure out, basically what I'm trying to do now is trying to figure out how did the poskim in America permit it? On what basis? So, Kli B'Toch Kli is normally Hatzmana. Should be prohibited. It's a Kli B'Toch Kli because the Kli Cheres is inside the Kli Matzachet. It should be Asur. The Shlomo Zalman seems to make a lot of sense. I'm trying to understand where do the American Rabbanim come who will let people use the crack pot. Yeah. Yes, Gil.
That's one of the problems, even though the food's already
cooked. Yes, right?
Why?
Yes. Because it might get cold and you might be heated. Excuse me one second. I'll be right back. If there's a mixas negia, the mechaber says it's asur. Mixas, even on the bottom. So the bottom of the crock pot, you have all the heat coming up from the electric coils. There's no question that that should be hatzmana according to the mechaber. There's no question.
What does Rav Vine says about the
crock pot? Check your other bag. I don't know. Yeah.
But they don't just use it for warming. They cook the cholent in there from the beginning. They put all the raw material in there, the added water.
That doesn't make a difference. So it's bishul plus hatzmana.
Rebbe's not a flame.
Oh, the Rambam paskins that fire doesn't have to have flames. Glowing metal, the Rambam says, is also called Eish. So electric coils, which are glowing, according to the Pesach of the Rambam, is Eish.
And the Mechaber?
Also Eish. No one argues with the Rambam. But the Rambam is the original source. That Mateches. So anyway, this is Shitas HaMechaber. So the Ramah, Ashkenazim. Okay, here's a case where the Ramah gives you a kula. Some people think that the Ramah is a machmir. The Mechaber gives you kula, and the Ramah says Yeshomim lahachmir, but it's not true. The Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out that many times the Ramah is a Mekil, he's more lenient than the Mechaber. This is one case. Mechaber said that there's any Negiah whatsoever, even on the bottom of the pot is touching the hat gachelem, the Mechaber says it's Hatzmana, and therefore there's no Heter. There's no way of setting up the stove in that way. Yeshomrim, Rama says, Reishnun Gimel, at the end of Halacha Aleph. Great Yeshomrim, that Philim Hakadeira, Omedas Al Gabba Eish Mamish, calls man, Shehim Gula, Lamala, Lomikre Hatmana, Vishari, Vichen Haminhag. Amazing.
Wow.
Even if the path is Mamish on the Eish. As long as it's Megula Lamala, the top of the pot is not wrapped, it's not Hatzmana, Vishari, it's permitted. And that's the minhag. He said that's how the Ashkenazi Jews do. So according to Ashkenazi Jews, the Shak of Ramah is that Hatzmana is not Miktas Negiah, and even as long as it's Megula Lamala, there's no wrap on top. So the crack pot doesn't have a wrap on top.
Yeah,
it's a cover. It's a regular cover. Doesn't have a separate Dovah HaMosif Hevel on top. So that's why the Rabbanim in America permitted it.
Oh, yeah.
He's been mach. Now the more. Then there were more backtracks. Okay. And the Mishnah Berurah himself is a little bit, he's not so sure. The Mishnah Berurah writes, Das HaRamah, the Ramah's opinion is, Afilu Kishinogim B'Gechalim Gam Kein Shavi. Okay, so actually that's the machloket. Probably I was thinking, I have to check if Shlomo Zalman's tshuva, but it's brought down he was against the crackpots. He probably feels that even the Ramah wouldn't allow it in this case, because this case is so much surrounded by the heat, it's well over 50% of the porcelain is surrounded by the metal, which is Hatzmana. Probably up to 90%. So you have a big rove of the Klicheres is surrounded by the Dovah HaMatzmin HaMosef Hevel, so it's Hatzmana. However, those of us who are Mekel, in America people are Mekel, many people, is apparently the Rabbanim here told the people to do it, feel that the Ramah means literally, you need Lamala, you need not just Lamata, the bottom, not just Minatzad, the sides, you even need Lamala, also Mechuse, with the Davar HaMosif Hevel, and since the craft part doesn't have anything Lamala, so it's permitted. You have to have 100% Kisui, which is, I don't know, 100%, but it should be Lamala. Lamala also. And this is not Lamala. It doesn't go on top. It just goes around the sides. The top of the klicheres of the porcelain inside pot protrudes above the matachet. Therefore, the crack pot is not Hatzmana. It's Bishul. Bishul, put a piece of scotch tape across the dial and it's Mutter. There's a Kulam Bishul. You can make Simanim. And you don't have to worry about if you start it on Friday, it's fine, as long as it gets hot before Shabbos, all the different conditions, but you can set it up. It should be okay from Friday if it's Bishul, if it's Shehi Ala Esh, cool, leaving things to cook. But it's not Hatzmana. Hatzmana, B'davar Mosif Hevel, is also even the Ba'od Yom. And there's no Kula. There's no Kula. That's why, so this is the question. So it's a machlokas machaber mimah. So all svarzim should never use crackpots.
I used to once.
You want? You should stop. Don't do it because you're a Saudi. A Saudi has to be loyal to the Mechaber. The Mechaber says no.
So I'm asking Mechila from Akaz Baruch Hu.
On the Mechaber. Good. I'm sure the Mechaber. You didn't know.
Couldn't put tin foil.
Okay. Now, we came up with another heter. You put a piece of tin foil. If you wrap your klicheres in tin foil and then stick that into the matechet, into the crock pot, so now it might even be permitted according to the mechaber, because the tin foil is a chatzitza, it blocks the negia. You're not the klicheres, the porcelain which has the food, is not nogea in the matechet, which provides the esh, because there's a piece of tin foil in between, which is separating the two. And the tin foil itself is a davar she'enu mosif hevel. It's not a source of heat. It's a davar she'enu mosif hevel. So that by putting that tin foil there, you, and the mechaber himself says that in ovens and stoves, the main point is negia, has to touch. So by putting the tin foil, you prevent the negia. There's no touching. Therefore, it's not hatsmana. That's what I do. That's what we do in my house. We use the crock pot, even though according to the memoir, I don't need to do anything, because the rabbis in America feel, because according to them, there's no hatsmana lamala, so it's permitted. But even if Shlomo Zalman is against it, so I'm introducing another kula. I'm putting in a piece of tin foil to wrap the klicheres. That tin foil allows the heat to go through, but it itself doesn't create heat. So the tin foil is not a mosif hevel. It's like a davar she'ein a mosif hevel. So there's no problem with the tin foil. The problem is the electronics in the matechet. But as far as that, there's no negiyah, because the kedeo cheres doesn't touch the matechet, because the tinfoil is a chatzitza. It locks the negia, the touching. That's the kula. You understand what we're doing?
Yeah, in the crock pot.
Let's say this is the matechet, the outside, and this is the cheres, right? So you put it in like a normal crock pot like this. It's touching. It sticks up a little bit on top, but it's touching, and 90% is touching. So it looks very much like hatsmana. Yeah, but what I do is, I take a wrapper like this. This is aluminum. I stick it in this way. Now, does the heat source touch the kli cheres? No, because there's a chatzitza.
Yeah, but it doesn't touch it anyway because
it does touch because it is like this. It's touching.
Yeah, but this is not the source of the heat. The source of the heat is hidden inside.
Yes.
There are like a wrappings of metal which are surrounding and they're producing the heat. And there is aluminum which is covering them and the crock pot is sitting into this aluminum.
You're claiming that maybe the source of heat, the electric coils themselves.
Exactly. They're the
source of heat and they're inside the walls of the metal crock pot. So really there's already a chatzitza. There's no nikiya. So you see, even though you follow the mechaber, you might be right. The mechaber might say it's permitted. Because he's saying the red hot electric coils, that's the davar hamosif hevel. And they're in the wall of the keli. So that wall is considered a chatzitza, so it's not hatsmana, but davar mosif hevel. Pretty good. It's sharp. It's a sharp shot. It's a kula. It's a kula. It's not hatsmana. Huh?
Why is that not the logic?
Because it could be that since it's one keli, the metal walls have within them the electronic coils. I don't consider it two separate things. I consider it one keli, and this keli produces hevel, produces heat. It's a davar hamatzmin. I don't consider the metal inside separate from the walls, because in Hilchos Kalim, it's one Kalim. it's fused together, people use them together. So in Hilchas Kalim, it's one Kalim. But in terms of theoretical, in terms of the physics of the heat, it's really two separate things. The walls don't provide any heat, they don't do anything for you. It's the electronics inside which produce it. So if you say that in Hilchos Hatzmana, you don't focus on the Shem of the Keli, but you focus on the Dovar HaMosif Hever, the original source of the heat, it's two different things. Then there's no negiyah, because you're not touched. It's not that you put it into the coal. The Machaber says you're not going to take a pot and stick it into hot coals, because the coals themselves are the source of the heat. So there's a negiyah, but Dovar Mosif Hever, it's Hatzmana. Vashayim came a crack pot. A crack pot, the electronic coils which produce the heat and get hot are inside the walls of the pot. And the walls of the pot are not Mosif Hever. They just transmit it. They're not Mosif. They don't create the Hever. So that's why you can say that the crack pot is committed without a special cover, because it's not touching the source of the heat. Very good. Yeshikoach. It's a very good kula. So we have. So therefore, if you do it my way, which is to wrap the cheres with the food in aluminum, and you stick it in, then it's another kula. So we already have three possible kulot why the crack pot is permitted, even though Shlomo Zalman said it seems to be hatzmona. You're sticking it in, and it's surrounded by heat, and the heat is coming in, so it's hatzmona. Why the American rabbinate permitted it, even though the Israelis don't? As our friend said, you can't even find it in Israel, because they know it's usur. Why in America did they permit it? There are at least three possible kulot. One kula could be the sheet of the Ramah, that the Ramah says that it's not enough to have negiyah, but you have to have the hatzmana lamala, not just lamata and atzad, but even lamala, there has to be hatzmana. The crack pot has nothing lamala. There's nothing lamala. The cheres sticks out on top, and you put a piece of plastic here. There's no hatzmana lamala. So that's one kula. According to the Ramah, if you take him literally, that hatzmana lamala means literally you have to have something on top of it. You don't have anything on top. It's not hatzmana. It's bishul. Bishul, we have a kulat. We can make it with signs and scotch tape and notices, so people know not to play around with the dial, and it's okay, because that you can do. You start it up on Friday like any other stove. The sheet of number one is the Ramah. It's not hatzmana, because chaseira hatzmana lamala ukedei shetiyah hatzmana she'asura tzrichim v'hatzmin v'kolat tzadim bein lamata bein menatzad bein lamala, and it doesn't have lamala. Kula number one. Kula number two, we say Avraham's kula is that there's no negiyah, because you're only negiyah in the matechet. You're not negiyah in the dovra hamosif hevel, which is the electronic coils inside the walls.
Right.
So it's not negiyah b'chlal. It's even mutar konta mechaba. And the third possibility is you do what I do. You put a piece of aluminum foil between the crack pot, between the cheres, kedeyah shel cheres, which has the food, and the kedeyah shel matechet, which has the heat, and that the aluminum foil will be the chatzitza, and there won't be negiyah, and they'll be permitted that way. So we have three ways of approaching it: lahakel, and one way, of course, lahachmir, and that's a machloket. So I mean, personally, I permit it, but if someone wants to be machmir, it's very good. If someone zalman said it, it's hatzmana, but davar mosif hever. There's no kula. Yes.
The thing is it either this kula is the aluminum foil and the metal that's over the coils? Are those metals, are they themselves retaining heat and transmitting heat? So how can I do the chatzitza? Can it? Are those things themselves doing the hatma? The other things most of have themselves? I mean, they're not really.
That's the question. The question, I'm thinking about that too, Adam. I think it's a good question. If you heat up metal, is hot metal like a hot aluminum foil or the hot matechet the size of the kedera, is that called dover hamosif hevel, or is that called dover she'en hamosif hevel? My intuition said it's davar hamosif hevel. The hot metal is mosif hevel. Then we're up the creek. Then it's prohibited because the porcelain is touching hot metal. And hot metal is producing heat. So how can you say it's not nogeya? It is nogeya, but however, you could say that if you heat up metal, metal loses its heat very quickly. It cools off. I mean, it's a good transmitter. The heat of the electronic coils inside goes through the metal very well. It transmits. But the metal per se, if you just had the metal without the electric coils, the metal would cool off very fast. Let's say I would take hot aluminum foil and wrap it around a keli. That hot aluminum foil loses its heat very fast. So very fast, very quick. Metal cools off very fast. Just as it heats up very fast, it cools off very fast. So if you consider the metal by itself, even hot metal, you could say it's a davar she'eino mosif hevel. Because davar hamosif hevel means that the heat continues. Like say you put it into some, we said yesterday, Gemara says, salt, potash, melach sedomit. That's chemistry, that's chemicals. That could last for hours and hours, its chemical and the warmth that it gives. But a piece of hot metal, how long does it last? How much heat does it have by itself? Very little. It lasts for a few seconds or maybe a minute. Who's gonna put a pot into just a piece of metal? It's worthless. Even a towel is better than metal. A towel, warm towel, keeps heat longer than a piece of warm metal. So if a towel is davar she'eino mosif hevel, because it doesn't produce heat, it loses heat. So I would say a piece of hot metal is also davar she'eino mosif hevel. According to the analysis, even though it's very hot to it, right now, when you put the porcelain pot into the matechet, the matechet is extremely hot, because it's boiling, burning from the electronic coils inside, and it's a tremendous conductor of heat. So therefore, the metal per se is very hot inside. So you could argue, if it's so hot, it's a davar hamosif hevel. Or you could say, no, it might be a tremendous conductor of heat, but it's not the source. And it itself loses its own heat very fast. So it's a davar she'eino mosif hevel. If you say metal, hot metal, it's a davar she'eino mosif hevel, then you have a kula in the crock pot. If you say it's a davar hamosif hevel, it's asur. So we have to take a look at Shlomo Zalman's tshuva. Maybe Shlomo Zalman feels that hot metal is a davar hamosif hevel, therefore there's no kula. Yes, unless you say the one kula is the ramah. It's not lamala. You don't have anything going on lamala. So it's not hatzmat.
Just can ask you about that. Why would you not call it the ramah?
To check the tshuva. I don't know. Yes.
The problem with that is that according to the discussion in the mission, that the listening to the mission, it's things that aren't conductors. Meaning, if something is a conductor, then it loses its heat as quickly as it gains it.
That's right.
And once you have something like sand or what have you, the whole idea of insulation is that it's not just going to let it pass through. If you're trying to insulate.
Oh, very good! Insulation, Hadabah Hamosot Hebel means extremely good insulation. That's something which is not a conductor. It retains heat. So that's why sand, the Mishnah says, hot sand or hot salts, these are retainers of heat very long. That's why it's called mosif hevel. But something which is a very quick, good conductor like metal, loses heat as fast as it gains it, is not a davar hamosif hevel. It's a davar she'eino mosif hevel.
How about rabbi's?
That's a kula. So that's why it can be maker on the crock pot. Because the metal walls are a davar she'eino mosif hevel, even though it's very hot to the touch, but it doesn't maintain the heat, it conducts the heat. And that's the reverse logic of davar hamosif hevel. The idea of hatmana, but davar hamosif hevel is something which doesn't conduct heat, but retains heat, therefore you keep your food in there to stay hot, because this thing doesn't lose the heat. That's a davar hamosif hevel. Salt, sand, these things are mosif hevel, they keep heat very well. But matachet loses heat as quickly as it gets it, to make it very hot, but it loses it very fast. It's not a mosif hevel. It's an ena mosif hevel. That's why it's permitted. Very good. Shem Shon, Yashikoach. Who else? I saw some other hands.
I'm just going to ask if something, we know that an oven, leaving something in an oven, that's not tzman. But if it's resting against, if you have a pot in the oven or a pan, if it's resting against the wall of the oven at the same time that it's touching the bottom of the oven, so on some level, is that not tzman?
Well, it's a very similar discussion. According to the Mechaber, there's a Negiya b'miktsas.
I'm saying, do we have to...
It's called Hatzman.
We're not allowed to leave things, the thing in the oven.
No, but we just explained that metal... First of all, it depends what kind of oven you have, metal or porcelain. First of all, we just explained now that probably metal is not Hatzman, because it's not a Dabar HaMos of Heaven. We're doing all of this on Friday. The only issue of Hatzman on Friday is on the Dabar HaMos of Heaven. With Eina Mosef Hevel, it's permitted on Friday. Correct? You're setting this whole thing up Friday. And you're leaving it for Shabbos. So we read yesterday that the only issue of Friday is to be Matzmin the Dabar HaMosef Hevel. Dabar She'eina Mosef Hevel is permitted on Friday. It's only also after Bein HaShmoshes, after Tzeis. Eina Mosef Hevel. So if we say metal is a Dabar She'eina Mosef Hevel, so there's no problem. You can do whatever you want. Yes, Alicia.
If metal is Mosef Hevel?
If metal is Mosef Hevel, then we have a lot of trouble. Then it's a lot of trouble. I don't think I want to say, I want to agree with Shimshon that metal is an Eina Mosef Hevel. If it's a Mosef Hevel, then you could get into a lot of trouble.
And then tinfoil around the
path is Mosef Hevel.
And so what
then I couldn't do it with the Bechlau because it's a Dabar HaMosef Hevel. So I agree with Shimshon, even though it's counterintuitive, because intuitively you say, hey, Mosef Hevel means it creates heat. Metal is the greatest thing to create heat. It gets really hot fast, and heat's really coming out fast. So intuitively you say, oh, it's a Mosef Hevel. But you're wrong. Mosef Hevel means it retains heat over time, and that's why people use it for Hatzmana. They save things in there because it keeps the heat, like salt and like sand. Metal is not a Mosef Hevel because it doesn't keep the heat. So it's not a Mosef Hevel. Therefore, you can make Hatzmana in metal on Friday. You're allowed to make Hatzmana, but Dabar She'eino Mosef Hevel on Friday. Only Dabar HaMosef Hevel is also. Now, the crock pot, the problem is the coils. The coils are a Mosef Hevel because they're creating fire. It's a source of energy itself. So therefore the coils is definitely Mosef Hevel, the coils. But the fact is, as they claimed here, some of the Talmidim, the pot is inside is not touching the coils. It's touching the walls of the matechet. Unless you say that since it's one keli, the coils and the matechet are form one unit, so forget about the matechet. The coils are being nogeya in the cheres because it's one keli, so it's being nogeya. So it's hatzmana in the coils. Then the crack pot is asur. That's what Yishlam Zalman Paskin, because he considers the coils and the metal frame one keli, and you're touching that keli. That keli is Mosef Hevel. Heat is coming out from it, new heat from the coils. It's one keli. You're not gay. And the question of lamala, it is. You don't have enough. If you have 95% covered with this matechet, Mosef Hevel, so I don't care about the lamala. When the Ramah says lamala, if it's missing a hatzmana lamala, it's permitted. It means lamala when most of the keli is empty. Most, rov. If rov of the keli doesn't have coverings, that's mutter according to the Ramah. But this keli, not just rov, kemat kulo, almost the whole keli is mutzman in the crack pot container. It's only a miktsas lamala, which is not mutzman. That, the Ramah's, I don't know if the Ramah's makel in that case. The Mechaber Shlomo Zalman says, no, you cannot rely on this. It's only a cover, which is not mutzman. But everything except the upper rim, you say it like this, you stick it in, The only thing sticking out is this rim. In fact, all the food, this might be the Pshat Mishtom Mezalman's Chumrah. When you stick in, I have to check this too, but I would say it like this. When you stick in your cheres into the matechet, assuming the matechet is most of heaven, right? Because it's one keli with the coils. When you stick the cheres inside, now look at the food. The food is totally mutzma, because the food doesn't go to the rim. The only thing which is sticking up on top is the rim of the cheres, right? The ketzei ha'elyon, the rim. What they call the agur, I think they call it in Hebrew, or the soved, whatever, it's the rim. The etzem ochel is not up to the rim. The etzem ochel is inside, and the ochel itself is totally surrounded by the dovah hamatzmin. That's why even the Ramah would be machmir. When did the Ramah say you can do hatzmona if the lamala is not covered? Is like this. Where even the ochel is lamala. Well, let's say I have coals and I stick my pan into the coals. But look, all this ochel is above. That's not hatzmana. But if it's completely surrounded by the hevel, just the rim is outside, and even the food is totally inside, that's no kula. That's also according to the Ramah too. That's how Shtom Zalman is arguing. How can you say it's mutar? Lamala is irrelevant. You're not cooking any food lamala in the crack pot. All your food is lamata. And the whole food is surrounded by heat. It's a vilatmana, even according to the Ramah. That's probably what he says. However, what do we say, the American rabbis? First of all, they have apparently an idea that even if the food is totally surrounded by heat, but the keli itself is not. The kedera, the cheres, is not completely surrounded by the heat. It has a rim. The rim is above. It has a kisui. It has a cover. It's above. That's not hatmana. Hatmana means it's mechusel lamala, and it's aviv, not just the food, the whole keli. And since mixas of the keli lamala is not covered, it's not hatmana. It's only bishul. If it's only bishul, you have a heter with simanim. You can put scotch tape and other things like every stove, and you set it up from Friday. It's permitted. You don't have a problem with hatmana, but dava most of hevel because it's not mutman lamala. That's what we say. However, if Shlomo Zalman and that view says it is mutman because they say, look at the ochel. The ochel inside the keli is betoch hatzmona. That's the machloket.
I don't understand. If you look at the food, but still consider that it has a cover on top.
There's a cover on top, but that cover has nothing to do with the food. The food is below. The food is mutzman. That's what Shlomo Zalman says. We say no. We say the keli has to be mutzman. The kedera of lamala doesn't have any hatzmana. That's permitted.
The son of Moshe Kemal at the top, according to that shot that you're giving over, even though they may be sticking up, it's not Moshe Kemal.
What's not Moshe Kemal?
You're saying the food is totally submerged according to Rabbi Arba, but yet the top part is not Moshe Kemal. The top part is not. So the whole thing is not Moshe Kemal.
I don't know. If it's completely surrounded on all sides, then it's Moshe Kemal from the top too.
Even if there's no rim at all, let's say a special crock pot that slips all the way through completely, let's say the handles break up. The top, there's no heat source on the top.
I don't know whether that's considered or not.
Besides the bottom and the top has no heat going in whatsoever since the cover.
Yeah, but the food is totally below. The food is totally below the heat source.
But there's nothing above the food. The top of the food is not the heat source at all.
The top is not
the heat source. It is totally submerged completely. If you define the top as completely the top as well, like you take coals, you stick the pot in the coals completely, the top as well, and then even if there's no room whatsoever, it's still not a monocle, but the top is no heat source. It's just a cover.
Okay, you can argue that. I hear that point. Yes.
You might be able to argue against that in the Gemara, though, because
entire concept of water, we're not, we don't mana with damage to the pebbles, because if someone does rub on the coals, you might come and stir the coals.
Right.
So the assumption is any stirring of the coals would be madir, right?
Right.
Would be an issue of
making a fire.
So if hadmana, as we're describing it, is where you cover the thing entirely even from the top, so right. You're talking about someone covering the pot with the coals from the top also.
Right.
Meaning there's no shayla they're going to stir the coals. If you take the pot out, there's no way of getting the pot out without moving the coals.
Okay, the Ramah discusses that. The Ramah says you have to do it in a very careful way, he says. He's like this. Yeshom mim afilam hakadeira omedas al gabo ha'esh mamish kol zman shehi megule lemala lo mikri hatzmana v'shavi, even if it's on the esh, I mean in the hot coals, as long as it's not covered on top, it's permitted. V'chein ha'minhag rak shenizharim lenitkan ketzat kodem shabbat min ha'esh kedei sheyuchal Yisrael lahasiro misham. V'yizaher sheyikochenu misham benachat v'lo yena'aneya hagecholim. When you take it out, the Ramah is a kula. He says you can take the pot out of, you can have it stuck into the hot coals on the bottom, a little bit around. It's not hatzmana because it's not lamala. But he says when you take it out, you have to be very, very careful to take it out the nachat, not to stir the coals, because stirring the coals will create a fire. That's the whole gezeira. Shemi yachata b'cholim. So the Ramah says, I'm a mekil. I allow one to have a pot sticking into hot burning coals. It's not hatzmana. It's permitted on Friday to do it for Shabbos. When you take it out on Shabbos, you have to be very careful not to shake the coals. How you do this biblically? Because if you shake the coals, and then he says, "Yikachenu misham benachat, lo yena'aneya, don't stir hagecholim." The az. Af im yena'aneya k'tzat, dova she'eno miskaven hu v'shari. And let's say he puts out the pot, and he's trying very hard not to move the coals.
No,
some of the coals do move, and because they do move, a little flame bursts. So it's permitted to dova she'eno miskaven, that of sikreshe. He doesn't want to make a fire. In other words, Ramah's a mekil, he says, you're allowed to have your pot stuck into the miksas on the bottom, into mamish touching the hot coal. It's not considered hot. It's only bishul. And shehi ala esh, bishul is permitted from Friday. If you make a sign or something, blech, whatever. So he says, but the problem is, yechata b'cholim. Stirring coals is a nisa deraisa. You take the pot out on Shabbos, do it benachat. Don't go in there, boom, 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 because you're making a fire in the coals. Take it out very gently, so the coals won't move. There'll be no burst of flame. And even if there is a burst of flame, you didn't intend to do it. Dovah she'enu miskaven is permitted on Shabbos. We pass Makrif Shimon. You're allowed to do a dovah she'enu miskaven. You're allowed to do a permitted act, A, even if this might cause a malacha B. If it might cause B, if it's not for sure, it's going to... If it's upset,
sure.
Great. It's not for sure. Because he's doing it benachat. He's doing it very gently.
So physically, I don't see why that's not for sure. If you move around coals, sparks are going to come up. No matter how many
coals, there are coals on top.
Don't worry, yeah, the coals are burning and around the coal you end up getting ash.
Yeah, that's not what I'm about to
say.
Maybe someone can explain it. I can't explain it because I don't understand it either, the physics of it. If someone here can explain why it's not inevitable to make
it's
a fire.
Ash. When a coal burns, every good barbecue is not just constantly burning red and it burns out like that. You slowly have ash around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you knock the coals
so
around,
the
you break the ash off, and then you rekindle the fire. So if you have coals that burn there all night, and they're mostly burned out, and you bang the coals, you'll create a fire. If you slowly move them around, and the ash is still more surrounding the coal, then
All you really need is a chance that there won't be a problem.
Said it's not Hatzman because it's only a mixture.
Right.
But the fact that you might be causing a fire when you take it out of the shop is then you serve the food before it will end. You can cause a fire because the coal is warm. That's what we are reading the Rilashna of the Ramah. He says, take it out Benach, and there won't be any prohibition. If you take it out Benach, he says, if you take it out Benach very gently, you can probably, or at least have a good chance of not creating any new fires. So if it does happen, so it's a double shame and miscavenant. It wasn't your intention, it's permitted.
So the young coals are surrounded by coals.
It's surrounded by coals. But only mixas, not kulo. Not lamala.
Oh, so not lamala.
Even on the sides.
Right, then you mean the dike from the Ramah, that true... Hatmana is including on the
top. Right, Ramah says Hatmana is only on the top. I said that before. Right. That's the sheet of the Ramah.
Right, but isn't that connected to Gemara? The whole sheet of the Gemara is that it's only a getter in case you might come to a certain point to reheat the pot. But if you have it completely surrounded by coals, there's no way you can get that pot out of there without starting the coals.
Maybe you could.
How?
I don't know.
With the top of the pot covered with coals?
You do very benachat. Nacha, very gently.
What are you going to do? How do you take all the top without moving the holes?
It doesn't mean that. Maybe someone can explain it. I'm not a physicist. I never dug with a barbecue. I don't know. You can avoid the fire. Apparently, you can avoid the fire. It's only a gazette.
Inside all the holes.
You don't have to make the fire. You can avoid it.
There's no way to access the fire. You have to stick something into the fire before you do the holes. You have to break through the holes to get to the fire.
Is that for Bishop? Does that have to be cooked 1/3 before the Shabbos starts, or is it you can put something totally uncooked before Shabbos starts?
No. Well, we'll learn the laws of Bishop. We'll get to it.
Rabbi, why would it be different than Bishop?
Why am I doing that question?
Why? Meaning, according to Ramah, if there's a chance that by moving in Benachat, you can get the pot out of there without moving the gold, then why?
Without making a fire.
Without making fires, why would you say the same thing about Hatman?
Hatmana is not caused by accident he'll make a fire. The Gzeirah Hatmana is Gzeirah Shema Yechata B'Kolon. He might make the fire intentionally.
But isn't it?
They prohibited Hatmana because someone might make a fire intentionally.
But what? I don't understand. If you're going to
Because if you let him do Hatmana.
We're not worried about Bishul, the guy's going to make a fire intentionally, but by Hatmana we are? That doesn't, I don't understand.
By Bishul, we also. By Bishul, we're.
Not according to Ramah, we're not.
No. In Bishul, we're not afraid he's going to make a fire. As long because there's a sign. The sign tells him don't make a fire.
What sign? He's sitting in the coals and he's moving it, according to Ramah.
I understand, but he's not going to make a fire.
Why not?
Because it's only mixas. It's only mixas fire there. It's not kulo.
Fine. So
when you have hatzmana b'kulo, there's a gzeir shem yichata b'kulo.
But to the same effect that the coals on the top might get colder, and so you're going to want to mix it to make the thing that's in hatzmana warmer. So too, by bishul, you're going to want to cook the food, and you find that it's cold, you can stir the coals the same way.
I agree with that, but it's because apparently it's a question just of definition. In other words, at this point, what you're raising is not going to make a difference in the gezeira. It's not that, it's just a question of, there is a gezeira, hatmana prohibited, because maybe he'll make a fire. If he would use coals, there's a tendency to make a fire. Therefore they said, all hatmana is us. Then there's another gezeira. If it's not Hatmana, and you're just cooking food on a stove, so they also have a problem. He might play around with the fire and make something. So they said, okay, in Bishul, we're going to be more lenient. We're going to let the simmon, if he has a sign, whatever the sign is, a blech, a piece of scotch tape, whatever it is, as a sign, he'll remember not to touch the fire. Now, that's the original Gezeirah. In the original Gezeirah, for some reason they felt that in cooking with a stove, which you define it as cooking, if you have a sign, the person will be responsible and he won't, he'll be careful with the fire. That they allow cooking from Friday as long as the stove has some kind of a siman. And they felt that the siman is sufficient protection against the Gezeirah Shem Yichat of the Kolim. No, he has a siman, he'll be careful. When it came to Hatzmana, here they weren't lenient. They didn't feel that they could rely on a person to be careful with the fire in a case of Hatzmana with Gechalim, because Hatzmana with Gechalim, the coals are all over. Even though it is theoretically possible that he won't make a fire, he could be careful. But it's so likely that there'll be a fire and people are not that responsible to say that in this tricky situation, let them rely on a siman and let them do it. So they said, no, we're not going to let any hatzmana. They'll keep Shabbos. You have hot food on Shabbos. You kept a stove, and we're letting you work with a stove under the proper conditions, which you keep hatzmana. So you won't do hatzmana. We're going to be machmir because of this kulo hatzmana scenario, because hatzmana sometimes has gechalim all over, minamata, minatzat, lamala, all over. And in this case, there's a gzeirah shem yachata b'gechalim. He might make a fire, and he might do it intentionally, I don't know, probably intentionally, according to the Rama. And I'll say simanim, let him have a siman, he'll be more careful. No, we don't rely on it. It's too likely to make a fire. So then he made across the boards, if something falls into the category of hatzmana, b'dav ha-mosif hevel, it could be salt, it could be sand, it could be anything. That's it. Asur, b'li kula klal. If it's bishul, you have a kula of, the kula of what they call glufach tuma, the sign. Now, if you have miktas gechalim, which is this case of the Ramah, he's cooking in miktas gechalim, the miktas, but not lamala. We allow it with a sign. I'll say, Shem Yechata b'chalim, maybe he'll make a fire, so Ramah says, so he'll be careful. He has a sign, he knows it's Shabbos, because it's a stove, or whatever it is, it's a stove, wood stove, it burns wood, but lamala, it's a stove. He knows stoves, you have to be careful. He has a siman to tell him, don't stir it. So he'll do it benachat, he'll do it the right way. If he goes all the way, gechalim kulo, the whole thing, even lamala, we don't trust it. You're asking, practically speaking, how come one case we do trust him, one case we don't trust him? I think it's just a question of definition. Once they made the gezeirah, then it's only a question of what falls into which category. By definition, hatmana means lamata or lamala. Bishul is lamata velo lamala. On bishul, simanim, work, it's permitted. If it's hatmana, simanim are no good, it's asur. That's it. But I don't think that you can in any way demonstrate that if it's gechalim b'miktzat, he won't make a fire. And if it's gechalim b'kulo, he will make a fire. I don't think that that's such a... they made the gezeirah, then the rest is just automatic through definition. Yes?
Rabbi, I guess my question is, does it come up anywhere else that you have a logic like where you would say by an Isur D'Oraita, like Bishul, that were in certain cases more minyan because people are more careful about doing Isur D'Oraita? Meaning, by Bishul, so if the guy stirs the gifle, not only is he madri, but he's also going to be worried about actually doing Bishul, but actually cooking the food, whereas with the Hatmana, there's no issue of actually being over an Isur D'Oraita, except for the specific Mahavir of the cold. So therefore, someone might be more willing to move around the pot, whatever, with the Hatmana, whereas they wouldn't necessarily be willing to move around the coals with the Bishul.
I don't know. I don't think there's any practical difference. I don't think there's any real practical difference in that sense. I mean, I don't personally see why a guy... You asked a good question. Why in this special case of Rama would there be no special problem of Chatavik Chalim, of stirring the coals? Obviously, Rama says we trust him. Either Gemara says you don't trust the person with Hatzmana and Gechalim, because there it's real Hatzmana, the Gechalim are Lamala. They're all over the place. What's the difference? All right, you know, if they're all over the place, there is a little bit more likelihood you'll make a fire than if they're just partially. So that little difference was the reason for the Gezerah. They made the Gezerah when the coals are all over. He said, listen, this is too much. This is too much. Someone's going to make a fire over here. We don't want this. If it's b'miktsas, according to the Rama, we trust people to handle it properly and they won't make a fire. Now, Machaber, listen, you're a Sfardi, so it's a Machaber. Machaber says, I don't care even miktsas. If it's no geya, if it's touching, he's going to make a fire. He can't do it.
No,
Machaber is Machmir. He doesn't allow it. He doesn't accept the Rama's Kula. He's Machmir. Once it's no geya, even the miktsas, it's Hatzmana. So, Machaber is very simple to understand. If it's no geya, the guy will make a fire. Because he's going to stir it. He's going to move it around. There'll be a fire. Therefore, can't do it. Rama says there's a definition of Hatzmana. Hatzmana literally means to be enwrapped, to be... What is Tamun? Tamun means hidden inside. Tamun. But it's a din and eish, by mazik. Something which is Tamun, there's no chiv. Mazik, eish. So Tamun means completely hidden. That's how Rama interprets, means even on the top. It has to be surrounded on all sides. Once it's that, there's a gezeira. If it's not, there's no gezeira. Whether that is really so demonstrable, demonstrable, that in reality, practically, a place in the shul. I don't know.
No,
but that's what they did. They do the line over here. If it's Hatzmana, we don't trust them under any circumstances. If it's Bishul, not Hatzmana, we trust him under certain circumstances. He'll be careful. They allow it. They drew a line. Hatzmana is too much ash, too much fire all over the place. Too much most of heaven.
But that's not the reason the Gemara lists.
The Gemara says, Zer Hashem Yechata B'cholim. He may stir the coals.
He might stir the coals, but it's not talking about when he's trying to take out the fire, it's going to fall off and it's going to create that fire. I don't know.
The Gemara says, Zer Hashem Yechata.
According
to Rama, it has to be, but it has to be Hatzmana. If it's not Hatzmana, there's no gezeira. And I mean, there is a gezeira to have to make simamim, but there is no gezeira to such an extreme level that we say even with simanim, no, don't do it. It's asur. That they only did in Hatzmana. Hatzmana was a special gezeira le'asur lechalutin. B'chol ofen shehu, you cannot do Hatzmana even Friday, even Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's always going to go for Shabbos. Forget it. They don't want you doing Hatzmana because there's too much Eish and it's a Gzeres Shem Yechata B'Khalim. He might make a fire. If you go below the level of Hatzmana, technically, if it doesn't fit that definition because Lamala is not covered, permit it. Put aside for the Blech. You can do it. And you have hot food for Shabbos. By the way, the famous Balamor, the Balamor says the rabbis very much wanted us to eat hot food on Shabbos because the Tzedukim said that you're not allowed to eat hot food on Shabbos because they said eating hot food on Shabbos violates the prohibition of Eish, or Sabara Eish. You're not allowed to have any fires going at all on Shabbos. So they blew out all the stoves and all lights. They didn't allow fires to burn on Shabbos. The pasuk said literally, "Lo tavaru eish v'yom hashvi." You can't have a fire burning on Shabbos. It's a pasuk. So the Chazal, huh?
The historically, how cholent came about was to show that the Tzedukim having all throughout all Shabbat, you have hot fire burning the entire time to show exactly.
Right. And Balamos says a very famous statement. He says if a Jew does not eat hot food on Shabbos, he's an apokorus. Chashu is apokorus. You have to be afraid that maybe he's a tzeduki. Why doesn't he eat hot food on Shabbos? He doesn't accept the Torah Shabbat Pen. Torah Shabbat Pes says you can do it as long as you set it up from Friday and it goes automatically onto Shabbos. It's no problem. So that may be part of the reason that the Chazal were lenient with the stove, with Bishul, on from Friday, even though there's a Gezeirah Shem Chata B'Kolam, the very Machmir, on the Hatzmana. The Hatzmana, so you don't do Hatzmana. It doesn't really affect us. How many people here are suffering because they can't? Let's say Shlomo Zalman is right. You cannot use a crack pot. So it affect me and you? Chas v'shalom. My mother never had a crack pot. In Europe, they didn't have a crack pot. All European Jews cooked on a stove or an oven. Who needed a crack pot? So without a crack pot, there's also a good Shabbos. But imagine you wouldn't be able to use a stove on Shabbos. You would never have hot food. It'd be mamish a question of being a tzaduki. So that's why the Chazal, that's my suspicion, it doesn't say it any place, but I'm suspecting that that's why the Chazal were lenient on cooking and machmir on Hatzmana, even though, as Shimshon pointed out, in terms of the actual Gezeira, it's a very fine line to see why there's more of a Gezeira by the Hatzmana than there is in the... And that's what Yaakov was arguing with me yesterday. He wants to get some kind of a leniency in Hatzmana. They made a very strict Gezeira in Hatzmana, and they were very lenient in Bishul, and it's just a question of defining what is what. If it's defined as Hatzmana, Chumra, defined as Bishul, Mutter. I, the Hatzmana, also can get, the Bishul could get you involved in the same questions of Eish, as the Ramaz case. As Shimshon points out, the Ramaz case, where you have Bishul, not Hatzmana, but it's stuck into the Gechalim, it's in the Gechalim itself, the Kedera. And maybe when you take it out, you'll make a fire. So he says, do it benachat, and if a fire happens, it's Einu Miskavein. So he says, we live with this possibility, but we want to let it be permitted. It's permitted, because it's Bishul. Bishul is permitted. The minute you put all over, you get into Hatzmana. Hatzmana? No, you make a fire. Yechata b'cholim. This is the way Chachamim in general make their takanas. Once they make a takana, it's just the technical question of applying a rule. You don't have to think about the original reason for the takana. The original reason for the takana, they make it for some reason. Then they give you a definition, and then the definition carries through. It doesn't necessarily have to fit the original reason. You see this all the time, takanas Chachamim. Even though the tam doesn't apply, but if the definition applies, it's asur. That's the whole fact we have with the Reformed Jews about Yontav Sheni Shel Golias. The Reformed Jews said, why do you need Yontav Sheni Shel Golias? We have a telegraph service. This was 100 years ago. Once they invented the telegraph, why do you need Yontav Sheni? The whole Yontav Sheni, the Gemara says, was when they do Kiddush HaChodesh B'Yushalayim, and you need witnesses. Witnesses have to go on horses and donkeys to tell everybody. The Shluchi Bezdin have to tell us when, what day the Bezdin made the Rosh Chodesh. So if you're living a 20 day journey from Israel, how are you going to know? So keep 2 days Pesach. So Reformed Jews said till they invented the telegraph and you needed donkeys and rowboats. I understand. So 2 days, and you live in Spain, have 2 days. But once they invented the telegraph, so you know right away. Why should they keep a second day? There's no more suffix. So the answer is, maybe you're right. There's no reason for this takana anymore. The reason is gone. But once the takana was made, there's no way of changing it unless you have a Sanhedrin HaGadol to reconvene and decide to change it. We don't have a Sanhedrin HaGadol. Takana runs. That's it. Once it's defined, it goes on and on until it's revoked. I don't care about original reasons.
Why telegraph? The calendar was set thousands of years ago. We don't even need a telegraph. That's
true. It's even better to have a calendar without a telegraph. So, yes.
I was just going to ask about supposedly the tribe reached me in Sanhedrin. I don't know if you're familiar with this.
I am very familiar.
Right. That Tiberius and this and that.
I am very familiar with
this.
What do you think about it? Well, if you search on our Rishon for the past few months, then Rabbanim went to Ravadia and Rav Yashiv to get Smicha with the way the Rambam discusses it.
thinks that every single gadol or the people who acknowledge the gadolim, if they acknowledge a certain individual, then you reinstate the smicha. That person who has smicha can give smicha to other individuals as well. And that's how they reconvene the Sanhedrin. And suppose they want to, like, seriously. A lot of times that happened with Karo. Karo was smart, I think, was trying to do it.
The rabbi in Jerusalem wouldn't allow it. That's the problem. There was one rabbi at that time who wouldn't allow him to do it.
Right, yeah, well,
that's why it fell through.
But now the one. So what do you think?
I don't think it's good. I tell you why. I have a theory, which is not halachic, it's just a theory, that Sanhedrin, Melech, Beit HaMikdash, these three things can only come when Am Yisrael is basically Shomer Torah Mitzvot, keeps the dinim of the Torah Shebachzav and Torah Shebal Peh. Because these institutions, Sanhedrin, Melech, and Beit HaMikdash, are basically Am Yisrael. It's Am Yisrael. So these are institutions of Torah, Sanhedrin, Melech, and Beit HaMikdash. If the Jewish people keeps the Torah, basically, you never have this case where we're keeping the Torah perfectly, but fundamentally we're all committed to try, and we have a Yetzirah, so better, worse, but we're trying. You accept the basic concept of a Shulchan Aruch, of a Mechaba, a Ma, okay, a Sfardi, Ashkenazi, I understand. But it basically accept this format. So then we go ahead and we create Torah institutions, Sanhedrin, Malchus, Beit HaMikdash. But if Am Yisrael per se is not committed, then these institutions cannot function. You can create them and they won't work. They'll do very grave damage. Like it's going on today. The Prime Minister's office took over the Misrad of Religion. And who did he appoint to be the acting Minister of Religion for Israel today? No, the acting Minister of Religion today is a fellow named Omri Sharon. Absolutely. Omri Sharon, he runs the Ministry of Religion today. The man who eats pork on Yom Kippur is in charge of Kashrus of Israel. He gives the Hafsherim to the meat in Yerushalayim. That's today, the last year and a half.
I thought they closed
them. They closed the ministry, but you can't close its functions because it gives, you buy a loaf of bread in Jerusalem, there's a stamp, Ministry of Religion, or Rabbanus HaRashis, it has someone, the rabbinate of Jerusalem, gives a stamp, it's kosher. Who pays the rabbinate of Jerusalem? The Ministry of Religion. There's no more Ministry of Religion. So who pays the rabbis of Jerusalem to say something is kosher? The Prime Minister's office. Who's in charge of the Prime Minister's office for religion? Omri Sharon. He was appointed by his father, the Prime Minister, to be in charge of the religious activities of the Prime Minister's office. So today, when you want to eat kosher food in Jerusalem, you rely on Omri Sharon's heksher. So you see that if the people are not ready, if the Am Yisrael is not ready to really be religious, you get an incredible distortion that the man can be in charge of religion to be a man who doesn't keep Yom Kippur even. So that's why we can't have Sanhedrin. We can't have a Sanhedrin. We have enough trouble with the Ministry of Religion.
Robbie,
we don't need a Sanhedrin to make even bigger problems.
Doesn't the Gemara say that Hashem will come in a generation who's Kulei Chayav and Kulei Zakai?
Right, and then we'll make a Sanhedrin later.
So if it's Kulei Chayav, then
how will he come? Well, have a lot of chesed and have it come, but he's not going to make
it.
We're not going to. Okay. Yeah, but that's not a heter to do things the wrong way. You can't make it. It's going to be. In other words, what happens is a very powerful institution like a Sanhedrin. Let's say it gets off the ground properly, with the right kind of smicha, but in a pretty short time, because of the politics of the country, it'll be taken over by the wrong people. So it's better not to have it.
Not only that, but also once you make that institution, anyone who goes against that institution, it makes it even more serious. I mean, straight off the bat, unless everyone in their shows, the ones become all of them, show them this one Torah, all the people who are now going against the outright Sanhedrin, that makes everything they're doing more common.
Yeah, that's short.
So,
that's so we'll hope Mashiach will come and have us in Hedge.